In this age of decadence, lack of direction and purpose, God has raised his servant, Yemi Adeleju, to raise models of integrity and power. Models that rise above the limit of their birth, backgrounds and circumstances to dimensions beyond their imaginations. Come, let God show you how the vehicle of grace can take you from where you are to where he has ordained you to be. Grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through the preaching and the teaching of the Word of Life. Join Yemi Adeleju for the Word of His Grace.
The book of the prophet Zechariah, chapter 14 and verse 17. Zechariah 14, 17. And then Haggai, the book of the prophet Haggai, chapter 1, from verse 3 to verse 10. Haggai 1, 3 to 10. After Zechariah chapter 14 and verse number 17. If you are there, say amen. Are you ready? One, two, go. That whichever of the families of the earth do not come up to Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, on them there will be no rain, but upon your family there shall be rain. Amen. Haggai chapter 1, from verse 3 to verse number 10. One, two, go. Then the word of the Lord came. Is it time for you yourself to dwell in your paneled houses, and this temple to lie in ruins? Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but do not have enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourself, but no one is warm. And he who earned wages to put into a bag with holes. Thus says the Lord. We're going to verse 10. Consider your ways. Go up to the mountains and bring wood and build a temple that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified, says the Lord. You looked for much, but indeed it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why? Says the Lord of hosts. Because of my house that is in ruins, while every one of you runs to his own house. Therefore, the heavens above you withholds the dew, and the earth withholds its fruit. That will not be your portion in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, speak to us yourself this morning, and let your word find a smooth course into our hearts, and let your word do us good. In Jesus' name we have prayed. You may please be seated. There are two scary verses. The passage we have read, there are two verses that appear scary. Well, most of the verses in Haggai, God was saying some heavy and hard things. Very hard things. And then you'll be wondering, why would God say all this? For instance, that you brought in wages, I blew it away. Or whoever had wages, hands it into a leaking pocket, a bag with holes. He said, you have sown much and bring it to. That is contrary to harvest. Everything here negates harvest. Contrary to harvest. And you remember that we are talking about harvest. This is a year of harvest. And you will record great harvest in Jesus' name. Can I hear your loud amen? And don't forget, in the course of the anniversary that just ended, the convention that just ended, the harvest is here. We were told, and that is what God is saying, to get set for a great harvest. We are expecting harvest in many areas of our lives. Many areas. Is anybody here expecting harvest? Let me see your hand. Say it loud. I'm expecting harvest. You will record great harvest in Jesus' name. So we are expecting harvest. Harvest of men. Souls of men as a church, great additions. As a business person, as a trader, great patronage, customers and patronage for your business. Men. You need the harvest of men because we all need men. Inasmuch as we agree that it is not everybody that is relevant to our destiny, we also know that there are some people that are very relevant. Let me pray for someone here. You won't miss the relevant person to your destiny. I don't like your amen. I pray it again. You will not miss the relevant person to your destiny. Harvest also of money. You will record great money. Transfer of money. Transfer of wealth. In the name of Jesus. Harvest of miracles, signs, and wonders. These are many things. We can break them down to 10, to 12, to 20. But the main three subheadings. But understand that no one can record harvest under a closed heaven. And that's the point. In case you are wondering, my message is enemies of harvest. Enemies of harvest. Now, if you look at Zechariah 14:17 that we read, the Bible says, "And it shall be that whoso will not come of all the families of the earth to Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain." Those who do not come to worship, those who neglect the worship of the Almighty. And if you look at verse 10 of Haggai chapter 1, look at verse 10. Verse 10. The Bible says, "Therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the heart is stayed from her fruit. When the heaven is closed upon a man, it is stayed from rain. It is stayed from dew. And when the heaven is stayed from rain and from dew, the heart is stayed from fruits." Anywhere there is no rain, there will be no fruit. May your heaven not be stayed from rain. The way you are saying amen, I'm suspecting you this morning. I will pray that prayer again for you. Your heaven will not be closed. If a closed mouth is a closed destiny, what happens to a closed heaven? It's a finished life. You won't be finished. So no one can record a harvest under a closed heaven. And when heaven is stayed from rain or dew, then the heart is stayed from a fruit. What result? Fruitlessness, barrenness, struggles, and toiling. And this will not be your portion in the name of Jesus. And that's why one prayer you're going to pray this morning is that your heavens be open and that your rain will fall. Let's go back to our passage. Haggai chapter number 1 from verse number 3. God said, "The heaven is stayed from dew." But why? Look at it. "Then came the word of the Lord to Haggai the prophet, saying," verse number 4, "Is it time for you to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste?" Number one, enemy. Now from that passage, number one, let me put number one as lack of worship. Any man that does not know how to worship God will operate under a closed heaven. Any life, any destiny, Zechariah said it, any family of all the families that will come to worship the King, upon them shall be no rain. The worship of the King, the worship of our God, is number one catalyst for rain and for open heaven. And so when you see a life that refuses to acknowledge God, that refuses to worship Him, upon such a life, upon such a family, there will be no rain. And if there will be no rain, there will be no harvest. Worship. Worship. And I do not have the time to break worship down. It starts from surrendering your life to Jesus as Lord and Savior. That is the starting point of worship. Giving Him your life. Handing over your life to Him. I pledge my life. I give my life to you. I accept you as my Lord and as my Savior. That is the beginning of worship. Anything a man purportedly does or a man does for God, purportedly for God, and he's not saved, there's no relationship between him and God, it's a waste. May your services not be wasted. So you see, it's number one enemy. You won't worship God, God said, I'll keep my rain. You won't worship me, I'll keep my rain. I'll be close to the heavens. May the heavens over you not be closed. So worship, it includes giving of your life, your body. Worshipping God with your body. Not joining it with allotry. Not joining it with evil. Worshipping with your body. Worshipping God with your prayer, with your substance. You worship Him with your substance, with your singing, acknowledging Him. Worshipping Him with the whole of your being, like the angels, kneeling to worship God. Some of us cannot kneel. Worship. That's number one. It is a major enemy of harvest. A life that refuses to worship God. That refuses to worship God. Heaven will be closed upon him. Number two. Indifference to the things of God. From that Agai, the people of Israel were indifferent to the things of God. Everybody was running to build his own house. Verse 4. Agai chapter 1 verse 4. And God said, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses? And this house lie waste. They were indifferent to the things of God. They watched the house of God break down. They watched it dilapidate. It dilapidated, and they didn't mind. They were not concerned. They were not concerned. Do you know? If you don't show concern to the things of God, God will not show concern to your things. You must be concerned about the things of God. You must be concerned about the house of God. It is your Father's house, and you must show concern. So they were indifferent. And I said in my note, if you don't mind God's business, nobody will mind your own. Spiritual apathy closes a man's heaven. When you are spiritual, you are indifferent. You just, anything goes, anyhow. It closes heaven upon a man. Only genuine interest in the things of God opens the heaven upon a man. Psalm 132, from verse 1 to 5, and from verse 13 to verse 18. Psalm 132. Psalm 132 from verse 1. Lord, remember David and all his afflictions. How he swore to the Lord and vowed to the mighty one of Jacob. Surely, I will not go into the chambers of my house or go up to the comfort of my bed. I will not give sleep to my eyes or slumber to my eyelids until I find a place for the Lord, a dwelling place for the mighty one of Jacob. Go to verse 13. For the Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired it for his dwelling place. This is my resting place forever. Here I will dwell, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless our provision. I will satisfy our poor with bread. I will also clothe our priests with salvation. And our saints shall shout aloud for joy. There I will make the horn of David grow. I will prepare a lamp for my anointed. His enemies will I clothe with shame. But upon him his crown shall flourish. May your crown flourish. May your enemies be clothed with shame. May your horn grow. May your head not lack oil. May you always shout aloud for joy. May your priest be clothed with salvation. May the poor be satisfied with bread. May the Lord abundantly bless your provision. We have said amen to all those prayers. Fantastic. But the precursor, we found in verse 1 that we read, David said, I am not going to give sleep to my eyes. I will not go to the comfort of my bed. I will not go to my chambers until I have found a place. He was concerned with the things of God. Ladies and gentlemen, harvest is come. An harvest is coming. But to attract it, you must show concern to the house of God. You must be concerned and be involved, not just concerned, be involved with the things of God. God decided to bring harvest to David when he saw his heart. I won't sleep until I found a place for my God. How concerned are you for the things of the Lord? Enemies of harvest. Number 3, misplaced priorities. Number 3, enemies, misplaced priority. God must be placed before self. What did I just say? Please say it again. God must be placed before you, before self. The order of priority, married people, listen. The order of priority is God, you and your God. Then you and your spouse. Then you and your children. Don't turn it. You and your God. Then you and your spouse. Then you and your children. Your family is very important. Very, very important. But your God first. Then let me also make this clear. You and your God first, followed by you and your family, before you and your ministry. Are you following what I'm saying? That is the order. In 1 Kings chapter 17, you read from verse 10 to verse 16, 1 Kings chapter 17. I want you to please pay attention. There was a famine in the land. And God sent the prophet Elijah to Zarephath. And when he got to the gate of the city, he met a widow. As the Lord had said. And this woman was gathering sticks. And Elijah said to her, please give me a little water in a cup that I may drink. And as the woman was going to fetch it, the prophet called her back. I said, give me bread to eat, I'm hungry. And she said, as the Lord God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin, and a little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple of sticks, so that I can prepare it for myself and my son, so that we may eat and die. You won't eat and die. And what did he say? Elijah said to her, do not fear. Go and do as you have said. Underline the next sentence. But make me small cake from it first. You must first do that which belongs to God. Elijah told this woman, go and do what you have said, but bring my own first. What a wicked prophet. You could see that this woman had little, so very small, and yet you are instructing her to make your own first. Let me now quickly add this. Anytime God sends a prophet your way, it is usually a time for your change of level and situation. Anytime, and you are sensitive enough to receive that prophet in the name of a prophet, Just understand, it is time for a change of level and a change of situation. But that change will depend on your choice. That change of level, that change of situation will be dependent on your choice. Everybody is entitled to his choice or choices in life. And every man is a product of his choice. You make your choice, and your choice makes you. So you can decide. When God sends you a prophet, you can decide to disregard him. You can call his bluff. You can celebrate him. Anything you eat is your choice. And your choice determines your outcome. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying? So don't misplace your priorities. Don't misplace it. In misplaced priority also, you must understand, investing must precede spending. Under misplaced priorities, I said, God must come before self. That's one. Secondly, investing must precede spending. Investing must precede spending. Somebody help me say that. You have not invested a dime and you are spending so much. You have no investment and yet you are spending. Don't abuse people who spend money. If they spend from the proceeds of their investment. Are you following me? Somebody threw a party and spent 20 million naira. And you are abusing him or her. If that man is spending from the profits from his investment, excuse me, someone who makes 20 million naira a month doing business, makes 20 million naira a month, and he starts doing a function and is spending 20 million naira, what's your business to complain? To abuse him. He's spending from his investment. Abi? Profit of his investment. Abi? But you are not making 5 million a year. You now want to do what that man is doing or has done. It's a misplaced priority. You must invest before you start spending. And that is one of the major enemies of harvest. We want to spend without investment. It is a major enemy of harvest. And so some people will go and borrow money to do party. It is a misplaced priority. See, what I have discovered about life, let me say it, kele. What I have discovered about life, if you do party and kill 10 cows, we will come. We will eat it. We will finish it. Then we will abuse you. That you didn't take care of us enough. And then some people will complain that they didn't eat. Sir? Huh? One day go where they will complain. That they didn't, that you to party she. Amen? So if you keep 10 cows, we will abuse you. We humans. We will abuse you. If you don't kill any cow, you do your wedding or any function, and at the entrance of the gate, you are serving us, we will also abuse you. And as we are now abusing some people, now say, no, we'll take it easy. Because I have a party. He didn't call reception. And then it's okay. Some people will abuse. Some people. Don't misplace your priority. Please, all your life, no matter how young you are, start investing. I am pleading with you. Invest. Okay, party may be too big. Party may be. Let me talk about your perfume. You are earning a salary of 30,000 in a month. It is a misplaced priority. You are buying a perfume of 30,000 naira. Sorry, 20,000 naira. It's a misplaced priority. Are you listening to me? It's a misplaced, and it is an enemy of harvest. Oh, lelakojo. is smelling you? Praise the Lord. There was a time in my life I could not buy $5,000 perfume. He was a face. Don't forget, life is in stages. And there are seasons of life. I couldn't afford it. I was a senior pastor of a big church, and my salary was $30,000 in a month. How can I buy $5,000 perfume? Earning $30,000, I will pay tight. $3,000, okay, no. I will give my wife $10,000 for upkeep, okay, no. I will pay security levy on our street, $1,500. I will pay telephone bill. It was analog, this night bill. And they will bring bill, maybe about $3,000. I will pay those who are carrying those bills. Are you following me? I will buy fuel inside my car. I will pay house rent at the end of the year. I will pay children's school fees. I have an aged mother. I had an aged father. Had. 20 years. And I had church members living with me. Tell me, how and where, how can I buy perfume? 5,000. A decrease? Don't misplace your priority. And then look at me. There was a time I bought perfume for people. Now, I bought perfume, 50,000 naira for someone. A gift. 50,000. It's in stages. It's in phases. Me that could not afford 5,000 perfume. Someone gave me perfume of 120,000 naira. Someone gave. And I received it with thanks. Otto. Or to the next month. No. I want you to please understand what I'm saying. Don't live your life per time, your face now. Don't borrow from your future. Investment must precede spending. Now, they hear anything that brings no return or advantage is not an investment. And whatever depreciates in value is not an asset. You know that. But a liability. So, buy assets first. Go and buy land. Start investing. Go and buy inside bush. They were begging my friends to come and buy land in Ologun Eru. On the road, 30,000 naira. He says it's inside bush. 5 years after, the same that he didn't buy for 30,000 naira. 5 years after, he bought it for 1 million naira. Now you know how much they sell land there. Now go and buy land. Buy a genuine land. I don't know why I'm even telling you. Don't misplace your priority. It is an enemy of harvest. I told you. God's servant, Baba Isaac Komole, he told me he didn't have money. He said, I'm not rich. He said, I don't have money. Then, he just paused. He said, what am I even saying? God is very fair. Why would I say I don't have money? That me that saying that I don't have money, that I bought 200 plots of land for 35,000 per plot. 200 plots. 35,000 naira per plot. And he said, after buying it, that they created a local government there. And they tarred the road. And a plot became 1 million naira. Investment. God will help us. Number three, enemy. What's number one? Number four, thank you. You are following me. Number four is selfishness and stinginess. Selfishness and stinginess. Stingy. Some of us are perpetually boxers, wearing boxer's glove. Perpetually. Proverbs chapter 11, note verse 24 to 26. Proverbs 11. I won't talk much about that. But if you know that you are stingy and you are selfish, it is an enemy of harvest. Number five. Waste. Waste is the worst enemy of wealth. It is the worst enemy of wealth. John chapter 6, verse 11 to verse 13. John chapter 6, 11 to 13. And Jesus took the loaves of, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them, you see, not selfish, to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down. And likewise of the fish, and as much as they wanted. Verse 12. So when they were all filled, he said to his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, so that nothing be lost, so that nothing be wasted. Therefore they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments. Baskets. There are fragments that we are wasting, and they are responsible for hardship, for lack of harvest. I said the baskets you are looking for is in the fragments you are wasting. I have told you this before. So avoid waste. Tell your neighbor, avoid waste. Don't spend money on impulse. Avoid impulsiveness. Avoid ostentatiousness. Avoid riotousness. Avoid it. Let me close. Number six. Robbing God. Malachi chapter 3, verse 8 to verse 10. Malachi chapter 3, verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have I robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse. Not you. It's that man that robbed God. For you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessings that there will be no room enough to receive it. God wants to pour you blessings. Harvest is come. Harvest is coming. But the man who should receive it is a robber. This robber is a very terrible robber. Shebiam robber is robbing men. This one is robbing God. This one is robbing God. Do you know, the church of God will have no little or no problem if members of the church of God are faithful tithers and faithful givers. But no, we are not. And God says, you are a robber. He said, therefore, you are cursed with a curse. Cursed with a curse. So we discovered, ladies and gentlemen, that one major key to securing the harvest that God has promised is giving. It's giving. It is giving that empowers your walking to produce results. It is your giving that gives power to your walking to produce results. I want to plead with you. Don't rob God. Don't let the heavens be closed over you. Be a faithful tither. Start teaching your children. Start teaching your children to be faithful to God in their tithes, in their offerings. I give my children offering to give to God every Sunday. I don't give them tithes. They give their tithes on what comes into them. I only help them, or their mom help them, to calculate their tithes. One little girl was to give God tithe, I told you, and opened a piggy bank and brought out money. And in a piggy bank were about 24,000 and some fractions. Naira. And the little girl picked the 20 naira, like 2 and 30 naira, and said, this is my tithe. And the mom said, no, that's not your tithe. Your tithe is calculated 2,400 naira. And the little girl said, that's too much. That's too much. That is the way we also behave. That is the way we also think. And this is what shuts the heavens of harvest on many lives, on many destinies. That's what shuts the heavens. When a man robs God, how can God give the man his own aim, his own blessing, when you are robbing him? When you are robbing him. When was the last time you gave God your tithe? Correct one. Not that you did business. You made 10 million naira. And you now brought 100,000 naira to God as tithe, or 200,000. And to shut the mouth of God, you gave pastor also 50,000 prophet offering. You think God cannot? God is not seeing? He sees, sir. He sees, sir. I was in a church and a sister was talking. Feish Sheyi were with me. And the sister was sharing testimony. I went to minister. And she said, in my place of work, the directors called us and said they wanted to sack half of the staff because of COVID wahala. And then she said, I told the director, sir, why don't we, instead of sacking, slash our salary by the 50% or 25%, I can't remember. So that, you know, instead of sacking 25%, slash salary by 25%, so that everybody will just still manage life and blah, blah, blah. And then she said, sir, I would suggest that the director slash their salary by 40%. And they agreed. The director said, that's a very nice advice. And they agreed. And then this woman said, I told God, I will not reduce my tithe from what I've been earning. I will not cut it. And she began to, she was still giving God. And in the COVID, the guy just looked at her and said, look, we want to thank God for your contributions to this organization. We're doing very well. And the management have decided to, and they promoted her to a director. And so the money they now paid her, the 40, she said, God is just faithful. Don't know the story again. Don't let me tell you too much story. Look, in your whole relationship with God, stop robbing God. I am pleading with you, stop robbing God. Stop robbing God. We will not come and greet you in the hospital. We will not come and be greeting you in the hospital. Stop robbing God. You will not be spending money on problems. Stop robbing God. Your children will not bring you into trouble. You won't spend money on police case. In the name of Jesus. Stop robbing God. And then you don't give your tithe anyhow. Let me read this to you and then get out of your way this morning. You bring your tithe offering vows to the place God has chosen, and not just anywhere. Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 5 to 6. Verses 13 and 14. Deuteronomy 12, 5 and 6. But you shall seek the place where the Lord your God chooses out of all your tribes to put his name for his dwelling place. And there shall ye go. There you shall take your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes, the heave offering of your hand, your vowed offering, your free will offerings, and the firstborn of your herds and flocks. Verse 13. It says, take heed to yourself that you do not offer your burnt offering in every place that you see. Verse 14. But in the place which the Lord chooses, in one of your tribes, there you shall offer your burnt offering, and there you shall do all that I command you. Somebody is a member of Lighthouse, and you say you are paying your tithe to Firehouse. We are the Lord your God has chosen, where you are fed and blessed. That is where you pay your tithe. Are you following me? Bring your tithe, bring it. And I have told you, some people don't give tithe because they say that it's pastor that is spending it. Woe betide that pastor. Are you listening? Lighthouse is not a church that started because some people don't know what to eat. They don't know what to do, and they started a church. No. Since this church started, your pastor has been on the stipend, allowance, every month. I'm not those bishops, wolis. Those prophets who are the Alpha and Omega of the church. Are you following me? And I have told you, many years ago, God showed me a brother, not a revelation, physically. The brother was on bike. He was a biker, 1995. Pastor Kewisi knows him, my wife knows him. Biker. And the brother wore one pair of clothes to church. He was always faithful, attending prayer meeting on Thursday, Bible study on Tuesday, and then Sunday service. Same clothes. And I had a pair of clothes, a few. So I gave him one of my own, my native. The one I used for my introduction, I gave it to him. And the brother wore that clothes only on Sundays. Every Sunday. I didn't have much. I would have given him more. But on bike. The day I shook hands with this brother, Jesus is Lord. You know what I mean? No lights on the palms. But you see, this brother was a faithful tither. Faithful. He comes to every meeting, we pay tithe. He was a bike man. And one day, was asking for tithe as he came, and I was praying for him. And the Lord said, son, see that man. How faithful he is. You know what he does? I have met him in the rain, in the sun, in the morning, during Ramadan, doing bike business. And the Lord said to me, imagine, so this man is paying tithe, and somebody is now stealing the tithe. God did not say more than that. It had never crossed my mind to steal tithe. That time, how much was our money? Maybe 18,000 naira in a month. So, from that day, it never crossed, and will never cross my mind. After you tell me, Jamilo, it's like us that is owing me. So, please, anything God asks you to do, do. Your faithfulness to God, it opens heavens on you. I don't know why I'm saying this morning. Don't be unfaithful. Don't let heavens close. Harvest is coming. Harvest has come. You can't even talk to me again. But it's until you're there, right? Am I not your pastor? Can I not tell you the truth? Harvest has come. Your own will come. Don't allow the enemies of harvest. Don't allow the enemy. If you think it's a pastor, the way they're even doing money here, leave them to God. Let God judge. Are you following me? Let God judge. God will be the judge of every man will give account of himself to God. Including me. Including these pastors. Including those in the office. Everybody will give account of himself to God. Bow down your head.
You have just listened to The World of His Grace through God's choice servant, Yemi Adeleju. We believe in the ability of the world to transform, renew, and change your life for the better as you embrace and do the Word of God. Join Yemi Adeleju in life changing services at the Life Cathedral, Airport Bus Stop, Samonda Jue Road, Ibadan, every Sunday service, 7:30 a.m. Lighthouse International Christian Center, where grace lived. God bless you. Real good.